Hello and welcome to episode 171,000 of Muse on Minis.
Amusing and amusing.
Oh, perfect.
Take that, Lance.
This is Fat Asian, and I actually play Convergence of Sears.
This is Josh. I play Mercs, and only annoyingly play Convergence of Sears.
I don't know what that means.
I do.
Don't ask.
Don't tell.
Keep your mic as quiet as it on.
Just don't ask. I don't know.
This is episode 131.
I'd be using the one that you normally do. No, I don't know. I'm just...
Professional sound. Right.
Better? Closer?
Yeah, a little
warmer?
Bit. Yeah, that's good. Don't do that too much.
How about now?
Yeah, that's too much.
Can
there.
You kill me now?
Not enough.
Now?
There. Good.
Good? All right.
Using and amusing.
50% more Keith.
20% cooler.
Like Rainbow Dash.
So it is 131?
It's 131. Also, why is pirating addictive?
Why?
They say once you lose your first hand, you get hooked. Arr,
this is me, Chad. I play trolls.
Oh, yeah. Also, I play pirates. Arr.
Hello and welcome Holy to crap. Episode 131 of Muse on Minis.
This is the best gag I've come up with yet.
Why did I start that last time? Why?
All right, hold on.
This is Keith, and I play...
We don't have amusing and amusing?
We did that ages ago.
All right, fine.
After we introduced the episode number as 170,000.
Yeah, and then we had to fix the sound.
Oh, we're starting all over?
Yeah, I think so.
Hello? Wait, I have to tell my pirate joke again?
No, it'll be there. God, no, please.
Locked in. I can deliver it better this time. All right, go ahead.
Hello and welcome to episode 131 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian, and I play Convergence of Sears.
This is Josh. I play Mercs, Convergence of Sears, and Pirates. Yarr! And why is pirating so addictive?
Because after you lose your first hand, you get hooked.
Damn!
A flaw in your plan.
If only they hadn't heard it first.
Spoiler alert.
You can't put the spoiler alert at the end.
I believe that he just did.
Right.
This is Chad and I play trolls. And that's Crump and he plays something. I don't care.
Hearthstone!
That's true.
He comes over just to play Hearthstone.
This is Keith and I play Crix and Signar and Mercs and Trolls and Convergence and Circle.
Kador. You got some Kador.
I don't play it, though.
But you have some.
Hearthstone and Kador.
I think, didn't you say that with the advent of Wilpagani and Assault Commandos, you were really excited to get back into Kador?
No.
Because Assault Commandos were finally good?
No.
You finally saw the line.
His favorite unit.
His favorite unit in the game.
I've just been waiting for an excuse to play Assault Commandos. Thankfully, I now have that excuse.
All thanks. That sounds exactly like something.
Thanks, Will!
Now that Wilpagani has shown me the way.
Yep.
I feel like you guys are making fun of me.
He did play 20 Long Gunners.
Wilpagani did?
No.
No.
This guy.
After Wilpagani played 20 Long Gunners.
Sure.
Yeah.
Only Wilpagani's crazy enough to try out 20 Long Gunners.
Yeah, well, turns out they're pretty good.
All right, we have some news and announcements.
Oh, yeah?
They gasp.
News me. Yes.
Oh, hey, actually, Ryan's here. Ryan, you have a tournament coming up in Rochester.
This is excellent because he doesn't know he's exited the room.
That's all right.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. We have a guest who's going to be on a later episode, but Ryan is actually having a tournament in Rochester. It is Saturday, December 7th. Registration starts at noon, first round at 1, and we want everybody to go there because he says it's got a 32-person cap. So if you guys could make it and fill that up, that would be awesome. $10 entry fee.
Wait. What was the cap actually at? 16?
No, we're going to say 32 because it would be awesome if we overfilled it.
I feel like a lot of people would just be pissed off.
16 to 20 people drive somewhere where you can't play.
Okay, then maybe a flaw with my logic. And then,
however, free pirate jokes if you show up.
All day.
That'll certainly bring them in. I can't believe you're actually making me miss Colin. That's amazing.
I miss Colin.
I do. I actually legitimately miss Colin after listening to Maxon for a little bit.
Hey, John, guess what day it is?
It's Monday.
It's Monday!
No, it is currently Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. November 27th of the year 2013.
The day before, always remember, Chad.
The day before Thanksgiving. What? Dun, dun.
All right, anyway, there's also an Ohio Wormahorse Championship qualifier, number 5 of 16. It is in at the Guard Tower in Columbus, Ohio.
Do you
December
think that's
7th
literally
well?
A Guard Tower?
No, yes. It's the name of a game store.
I would like to play in a Guard Tower.
It's also December 7th. It's also SR 2013, 50 points, 2 lists, character restricted, very standard. It's one of 16 qualifier events for the Ohio Wormahorse Championship. So if you want to be the champion of Ohio, which is kind of like being better than the Browns and the Bengals, so congratulations.
it's better than being the champion of Texas, let's be honest.
I agree.
Concur. Anyway, they look like they have some pretty good prize support. You should check it out. And as always, there's details about these events on our forums. And if you'd like us to pimp your event, just...
Are they on the steel calendar?
I don't know.
Is it the I thought it was the iron calendar.
No, it's the steel calendar.
The steel calendar.
You know, it's named after that podcast Tim Simpson was on, Steel Calendar.
That was a podcast?
Yeah.
Does it still exist?
No.
No.
How long did it run?
Like 200 episodes.
200 exactly.
Which is, I'm feeling like where we're going to get before we kill ourselves.
I feel like since it ran 200, I can't say irrelevant Iron Calendar. Because where I wanted to go and he said like 10 episodes. But
no.
Yep, you upped up.
Kind of blown out by the fact that Tim hung with it for 200 episodes.
So after them, we named it the Steel Calendar.
Yeah, all right. It was Tim, Flanzer, Josh Salter, and Dave. I can't remember Dave's last name. But they were on for a long time, and they were the second oldest War Machine and Hordes podcast
after
Fel Calls, which you did listen to.
I did listen to Fel Calls,
which had the best podcasting name of all time, and the rest of us should have just quit after that.
After Fel Calls,
Fel Calls was amazing. I miss those guys. It was
such
a good podcast.
A good name.
Yep.
It's way better than Muse on Minis or Focus and Fury or Road to War or Remove from Play
or Crippled System
or Crippled, definitely Crippled System
or Chain Attack.
Yeah. Which is like, okay.
We don't need to list them all. I mean, that's inevitant.
What is inevident. What's the new PP one?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
The podcast. That's what it should be.
It's 100% should be. Well played. Well played.
Private Press. I'll sell that to you.
I love the look of delight in your eyes as soon as like that came to you. You were so excited, and I loved how excited you were about that. I'm that excited.
Look, he's literally the Cheshire Cat right now. He's just grinning ear to ear. I wish I could take a picture.
That is what it should be called. Maybe we could convince Charles to go on one and be like, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, man.
I'm going to try right now.
I think Charlie stopped listening to us for advice a long time ago. You know, like when he decided he wanted to have his job.
Probably for the best.
Smart. Smart man, Charlie.
It's pretty bright.
All right. Any more news and announcements?
I don't think so. Has anything been spoiled? I don't
believe anything's come out. There was something. Oh, the pictures of the Shamblers went up.
Yeah.
Which we all knew from War Machine Weekend, but it's official.
I've got Shamblers if anybody wants to buy them. Crump, if you'd like to buy them for a gift for your brother, I'm more than happy to sell them to you.
Only twice the original price.
No, 100% of the original price.
Mayhaps. Mayhaps.
Like, 100% more. Like, the original price plus 100% of the original price.
I don't gouge my friends. Actually, I'm going to stop you right there. How many times have I gouged you?
You've never gouged me.
Okay.
But I'm your friend. We're talking to Crump.
Crump is also a good friend of mine.
He is?
Yes. I can now go home happy.
When?
John, you done screwed up.
Oh, my God.
How did I screw up? Crump is a great guy. I don't think you guys should be nicer to him.
Should we?
I have to apologize to all the listeners because my allergies have been bothering me like crazy today. So I'm probably going to sniffle a lot.
So instead of 12 throat clears, there will be 13 throat clears and 12 sniffles.
I think you're allergic to Hearthstone. Actually, your allergies would be better if you slept instead of staying up all night playing Hearthstone all the time.
I did sleep today for like 10 hours. I went to bed at 5 and woke up at 3.
All right.
Anyway.
What should we talk about today, Keith?
Oh, why would you ask me that?
Should I get some dojo?
Dojo?
Dojo. This is going to be like I got something to talk about for like 2 minutes episode.
Yeah, we're just like, okay, who
wants to talk
drawing at straws?
What dojo do you have?
A tree.
Is it
a
sweet?
Tree? A tree.
Cassius.
Cassius.
A yeah. tree too far.
No, One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill.
All right, that's, anyway.
All right.
Except there's three trees.
Cannot
on
wait
the list.
Till we get a guest on that can give us a topic to talk about. That isn't a pirate joke.
But actually, let's just talk about pirate jokes.
Should we just do episode. An episode of pirate jokes?
Maybe for our 200th episode.
If you're go to the forums right now and let us know if the rest of this episode should be all pirate jokes.
We could talk about that thread that I created and has pretty much have a unanimous decision on what the best non-character heavy in the game is.
The Reckoner's really good. So, I mean, the thing is, you know, he's good.
Not unanimous. I didn't vote for no Reckoner.
Yeah, I didn't either.
He said nearly. You guys always, like, cut off the qualifiers, and you're just like, you made an absolute statement. I'm like, actually, I qualified my absolute. They're just like, no, mom, you made an absolute.
That's because my sophomore year honors American history teacher taught me to never use weasel words.
Oh, yeah, are they weasel words?
That's what they're called.
A weasel word?
That's like when you qualify a word. It's called a weasel word.
To leave yourself room for argumentation.
Not using weasel words is
how to become...
I was going to make a joke about that, but I screwed that joke up.
Is how
can
to be,
something actually be pretty much unanimous? Because isn't unanimous sort of a yes, it's an all or nothing thing? Like so either it is or is not unanimous. It can't be
like,
pretty much unanimous.
It's pretty much
it's
unanimous
like
pretty if
much
like
pregnant.
3 out of 1,000 people disagree. That's pretty much unanimous.
It's not unanimous.
It's thus the qualifier, pretty much.
That's a weasel word, apparently.
Well, apparently I'm a weasel.
Well, this I can agree with. It's the first thing I agreed with you online on. All right, tell us about Cassius, the Oath Keeper.
Of those oh, my quotes. Jesus. Weaseling out of things is important. That's what separates us from the animals. Well, except for the weasel.
Jesus. Okay, so going back to Circle for this year, or at least until a banana million bananas ret spoils happen, I'm just like, holy crap, I need to go back to that faction. Which will assuredly happen when Vengeance hits. I've decided to go back to my roots.
Your black roots.
Yeah. And play Cassius, my favorite caster in the entire game. A few changes from last year or a year and a half ago when I used to play him. I'm testing him without a Geomancy currently. Because Geomancy and Curse of Shadows is useful and helps clear up activation issues. But that's pretty much the only spell he has. The Geomancy Stranglehold's not that amazing of a Geomancy. It's okay. But
I think it's pretty amazing as
until
a geomancer.
It fails and then your heavy just gets killed.
Yeah, I can buy it. I mean, it's power 10.
I mean, you have
that
a
has to crack
power 11.
Power 11 that it usually has to crack 18, 19, 20.
Just you have a backup if it doesn't work. Right?
Curse of Shadows is a good geomancy too.
It is.
It is.
But it's also 9 points of the army that doesn't do too much work. Like it's kind of almost like a 9 point support piece.
Yeah, I could see that. I think if you did Megalith for your Geomancy, then he would do work and also bring an amazing Animus. And, I feel like Megalith goes really well with Cassius.
He does. And the only issue is, the 11 points is a lot of points.
Is he 11?
Yeah.
Same as the Avatar?
Yep.
Man, Avatar's overcosted. All right, moving on.
Yeah. It's 11 points of zero souls. Sadly. So the list I'm currently working on, the only battle group is a Gorax and a Whirlpool Stalker. I had built a list, and then I'll talk about Chris's list, and I'm trying to meld the two, because they're both, I feel like, pretty good. And I haven't played Cassius with Gallagher's Groves, because I quit Circle before those got released, or I was quitting as they were getting released.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so comfortable with that list that I had built and played over and over again that I just didn't want to change it. But now that Gallows Groves exist, originally when I tried playing this, as I pointed out to Keith several times over and over again, if you're not playing Morvana 2, Gallows Groves just get murdered because everyone can shoot them forever away, so I need something to hide them in. Usually the answer to that is Druids. So those were in the list for a while, except for Druids are very expensive and usually don't do that much work. So I decided to start looking at other options. And I looked at a model that I haven't looked at in a very long time, which is Sentry Stone and Mannequins. I think they're very good for two reasons. One, They can create forests for Cassius and the tree to hide in if I need to.
Does Cassius himself have Prowl?
He has Tree Walker.
Okay.
So, but still, like, his defensive stats aren't great, so he can get shot. Like, 14, 16 isn't too amazing of defensive stats.
You can also just block line of sight.
Indeed.
With some trees, so.
Right. So they're very good at creating forests for, like, hiding my caster in, or additionally, Warpole Stalkers and Gallows Groves. They were mainly in there to hide Gallows Groves, because they AD, so then they can, like, walk forward, and the Gallows Groves can shift into the forest that they make.
And then they make one mannequin a turn?
Each turn they get one focus, or one fury, sorry, and then they can spend that fury to do a couple things. Boost attack and damage rolls on the mannequins, shift the sentry stone within 5 inches of its current location, or summon one mannequin
per fury spent,
up to three guys. So, how I thought it would play out was, like, the first turn I wouldn't shift it, and it would just get one. And I would just spawn the mannequins where they needed, like, or I would explode the mannequin where it needed to be for Gallows Groves to hide in.
It comes with three base, right?
Yeah.
Starts the game with three?
Well, it starts with three guys, but no fury.
Right.
And then the next turn, it will go up to two fury, so it presents a few interesting things, because I could then shift it forward and summon a sentry stone, which makes an extremely good Hellmouth target. That's like an 11-inch place Hellmouth target, because this sentry stone gets placed within 5, so that's like 7, and then the other guy gets placed in formation, which is like 6 more, so like 13 inches. And they're def 12, so they're not very difficult to hit.
Yep, you need force to hit, and you ignore melee bonus.
If my tree is far enough forward, yeah. But so the rest of the list, there's 2 units of shifting stones, because those are just money with Cassius and somewhat of a necessity. Actually, I did, this list must be older. I do have a Wold Warden in it. There's 2 units of shifting stones, Silena and Nis Hunters, 2 units of Slaughterhousers, Swamp Gobbers, 2 Gallows Groves, and then a Wold Warden is in the battle group as well.
Swamp Gobbers.
So if you took if you took the Wold Warden out, what would you put in?
So, like, Chris and I have been discussing this caster a lot lately, and the issue is that Chris is thinking farther ahead with Shamblers being out, and I'm not yet, because they aren't going to be out until, like, March. But, oh my god, are they so money with him.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
why?
Drop a Shambler right next to that guy. Hellmouth the Shambler in the butt.
There's a lot of scornergy there, because you don't get the corpses.
I also don't get the souls on the list. But I just bring enough of my own guys to... Because you don't get souls from Hellmouthing either.
Yeah, I know that.
So, there is Scornergy. But there's just... not enough for it to matter. What?
It's irrelevant.
Okay.
So, like, the list Chris has been working on has Bloodshrekkers in it. Because they AD... And it allows you, how his game usually plays out, he has Blood Trackers and, like, instead of the Nis, is that Blood Trackers will usually get jammed by somebody, and then a few of them die, and then he spawns up Shamblers behind the models, behind the Blood Trackers, and then since they've jammed into you, you usually have Black Penny for spells, and so it'll just, like, target the Shamblers that are in the models that are jamming. Pull the Blood Trackers first, so they just get bumped into the guys, then pull the guys that are jamming them, and just kill, like, the entire unit, and then freeing Blood Trackers up to go murder everything. Which is pretty good, except I'm not sure if I want to put Blood Trackers with him, because they're so good with other casters that, like...
You've said that before, when we've talked about various circle lists. Do you just not consider Blood Trackers a unit if they don't have Nula? Because obviously you can put Blood Trackers with any number of casters if you're not, contingent on Nula.
Yeah. I don't know if I do.
Nula gives them quick work and reform. It's a lot for 2 points.
No doubt. Like, she's
and
amazing.
Plus a command. So if you don't have a command fixer without her...
Sure.
They do often just run away and never do anything.
And most of the circle casters are actually, like, command 8 or less.
Well, the
except for...
Croctor fixes that.
Right. Now you're talking about 11 points. So you still have to have the points for it.
Right.
The issue of is if I make them undead, then I don't get their souls.
It's just whenever I hear Crump talk about them, it's always just like, I can only take Blood Trackers in one list because Nuala is a character. And, like, I just...
It's like, would you take Chaosy Assassins in another list if the Underboss was a character?
I feel like the Underboss is potentially more important to the Chaosy than
he certainly is. But I've worked with them both ways.
Reform turns them all the way, because a lot of melee infantry in the game have a 10-inch threat.
Sure.
And so they can chuck, kill the front line, and then back completely into safety.
That makes sense.
And when they don't, you kill the front line, and then your guys get killed.
That makes sense.
It also makes stealth more valuable, backing up 3 inches.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes that 5-inch pretty rough.
Also, since their range is so short, a lot of the times they bunch themselves up a lot to throw at something.
Sure.
Sure. So then being able to spread out after they bunch up like prevents them from getting hit by easy AoEs.
So in general, you guys agree with them. You would not take Blood Trackers with that.
It depends on the...
It's one of the weaknesses of those character UAs that they started putting in. Well, it seems like only Hordes. I might be wrong about that. It was Scaldi and Nuala.
I thought there was
came out in the same cycle of books.
Is there a War Machine character UA?
There is, in the sense that there's War Machine character units, but I mean...
No. I mean, like, but, UA specifically.
I can't think of one. But I might be having a brain fart.
There's not a Menoth.
I also cannot think
just
of one.
Just the ranking officers.
Just right. The ranking officers, yeah. Murdoch and Valachev.
Yeah, and Valachev is the only one of those that...
Mr. Walls?
Yeah.
I guess.
Okay, yeah.
We got one.
Yep.
Got one.
Bazinga.
It was like a
Mr. Walls.
But there's like a million in Hordes because there's Scaldi, Nuala, the
Hexhunter guys, Bael, yeah. And the Legionnaire guy who is Ferelor.
Ferelor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Forkesh. For Scorn.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Yeah, that's weird. Why did they do that?
F Hordes, that's why.
I never
thought
Chad, about
high
that.
Five. Yeah.
Because those, a lot of those were probably developed without character restrictions in mind, because the development cycle is such that they're like, oh, we'll make them characters, and then, you know, character restrictions didn't really exist until
two years ago. Yeah, but it's odd that they hadn't, like, developed it for War Machine.
Like I said, they probably thought it was a cool idea, and then they started doing it, and then character restrictions came in.
Yeah.
That's my guess, yeah. Timing-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true, character restrictions did not used to be a thing.
Yeah.
War Machine has a lot more character solos that buff specific units.
Right.
True.
Like, there is not a great analogy for a lot of the, like, Rengraves and...
Joe Tartarus.
There
aren't any in Menoth.
Any of the pirate solos.
Oh. Nope, there aren't any in Menoth.
Yeah. So I guess that's different.
Sort of went a different way.
Yeah.
Maxwell Finn.
Yeah.
The best one.
But
one of the most rules.
Yeah.
Stannis Brocker, yo.
The list that Chris...
Rudewood.
Ooh.
Are we just going to keep saying Janissa Stonetide?
Boom.
She does make...
She does, actually.
I was just you like, were like, what?
The unit of Mulg and Earthbreaker?
Earthbreaker.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
What trolls would do to have an Earthbreaker?
So, but the list that Chris played, or has built, and I played it against Colin the other day, and it was, oh my god, I missed not playing Cassius this year, because I blew him out. Alright, I'll tell you the list. I'll tell you about how he went on full-blown tilt. So I played, the list was Cassius, Gorax, Warpole Stalker, 2 Galsgrobes, full Stone Boat, Blood Trackers plus Nuala, Bone Grinders full, 2 units of Slaughterhousers, the Bokor, and Shamblers, and the Swamp Gobbers.
You'll get caught up in the...
It was really hilarious. Turn one, just...
Boom howlers.
Damn it. So many three-syllable things in this game.
Plus, you'll legitimately get caught up in the boom howlers. That's their goal.
That's true.
That's true. I did like having 6 Bone Grinders in the list. That was pretty... Or, sorry,
bone grinders
12
are,
Bone Grinders in the list.
Yeah, 12 Bone Grinders.
Bone Grinders are really good.
They're so legit. Oh, my God. Especially when you've got a full unit of them, and you can do... Magic 11 Kamehamehas.
Yeah.
Are they 3 points for...
3 points for 6 dudes.
For 6 dudes. 3 points for 6 dudes. Okay.
Yeah, it's the perfect souls for Cassius, really.
Yeah, so, like, one of them was deployed front line, and one was behind Cassius, and the ones behind Cassius were the first ones to be like, every time you're like, Crest Talisman, and then murder half the unit, and the other ones are just sitting off to the side like, Zapper Ranger. And then, like, now that unit died and failed his command check, so I'm like, quick, walk over Craft Talisman, kill half of that unit. Which is sweet, because I also get their corpses from the Bokor. So, like...
Double dip?
Yeah, on my turn... Colin went first. On my turn one, I killed three of the guys, got three souls, and got three corpses for the Gator. And then on his turn... And I feed him my on bottom of one.
You can get corpses off things you kill? It's not enemy attack? That's really good.
Yep. And on his turn, he killed nothing, because I had feeded and, like, put my army in the middle of the forest. And I spawned three Gators. He's like, what? I didn't kill anything. And you're like... Right, I killed three of my bone grinders. Haha. But why I regret not playing Cassius this year was on my turn one, I had shifted the stealth unit of stones forward so that I was going to be able to teleport my objective forward to do whatever I wanted with it. And it was the scenario where they explode.
I hate that that's a thing.
It's unfair. I'm glad that it's changing.
Is it? I really hope it's fixed.
I think someone told me it is.
So I had shifted it forward. There was a giant castle.
It's incredibly, incredibly stupid that Circle can do that.
Yeah, I feel like they like made a few things to not bone Circle in scenario play, and then they actually just made Circle better than everybody else.
I'm just sure that I didn't think about it.
So there was a giant castle in the middle of the table, and Colin was setting up a Kador Arcanode for a gun mage to be on that side of the castle so he could deadeye it with Karas alone and still affect the entire unit. I teleported the thing forward, Curse of Shadows it, and shot it to death with this. It blew up, killing one Boomheller, the one Kador Arcanode gun mage, Ayana and Holt. And Colin was not a happy camper.
Full blown tilt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
How long do you think?
He was just like, the second I moved it, he was like, wait, you can do that?
How long do you think he's going to last in Signar?
He's already out, I guess.
3 days.
No, I think he's all in for Signar. He's really excited.
It's just going
to
be...
He wanted to thank Blue Baron.
Yep.
Well, that's right.
We can't thank that guy enough. He's probably the nicest guy in War Machine and Hordes.
I mean, there's a lot of really nice guys in War Machine and Hordes.
There is.
So he's at least a contender, I would say.
We don't have to qualify it.
He's
as
the best.
Best.
He's absolutely
he is
the
one
best.
Of the best.
Nope, he's the nicest.
You weasel.
He never trolls me.
Here I go, weaseling again.
So the criteria for being the nicest person in War Machine and Hordes is whether or not you troll John?
So everyone that has never actually met John or talked to him is the nicest person in War Machine and Hordes.
Okay, all right. Congratulations, Blueberry. No, but really, Colin's very, very, very excited, and he wanted to give some heartfelt thanks.
Oh, my gosh, he's so excited to play Signar. He's like a new puppy. He's bouncing all over.
It's like 180 degrees from what he does in Scorn.
It's pretty fun to switch factions.
Yes. It is.
And Signar is a really good faction to switch if you play
Melee Heavy.
Scorn. Yeah, Melee Heavy. And, like, Melee Heavy Hordes, so.
Yeah.
Right.
It's about as
because you're not used to like it's what, that's what the way I was like when I switched to Signar for a brief amount of time. So I go from trolls where you know it's like small control radiuses, not very good spell lists, okay feats, to Signar, and it's just like amazing spell lists, amazing abilities, amazing feats. Yeah. Like your casters are just powerhouses. It's kind of a power trip.
As an aside, my son chose trolls. So
nice, nice. He's a smart man.
Wah, wah. What?
You chose Mercs.
I know.
The best choice.
The finest of choices.
Did you choose Mercs for Crow's Cutthroats?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Good.
Anybody else have any more dojo?
I thought I built something. Let me take a look.
Keith looks and more room loads, I have a crazy idea for dojo. The Blitzstrade loses to Colossals, I'm pretty sure. But it's Epic Kruger with Megalith and four World Wardens. And then two units of Shifting Stones. And I think, like, that's pretty much the list. And the plan is to...
win scenario?
Yes. And then never have your heavies get charged by any infantry, because you'll Geomancy... You'll have a front line of like three World Wardens, and you'll Geomancy Electric Bolt templates into them, then TK them back behind that. So there's just a basically a High Reclaimer cloud wall, except they're not clouds. They're POW 10 electrical damage rolls. And have an army of wolves behind it.
I mean, I built a High Reclaimer list once that had five Reclaimers with that start with a soul on his theme list, and I wanted to play against Crix because he put them all behind the soul,
the cloud.
The cloud wall. And you're just like, ta-da!
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
About as dumb.
I don't know. I think that list is terribly bad because it literally will get Rickrolled by a single
by Grail.
Oh, except they're not clouds.
Oh, I was talking about John's
list. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, Grail. Oh, that is something we need to talk about.
I feel
thank
like
for reminding me.
I feel like Grail is exactly something we don't need to talk about.
No. Not Grail. But next year. So 2012 was...
No crutch.
No crutch.
2013 was play painted.
2014.
Which I made the entire year. I never played a single game without painted army.
I got pretty close, actually. In almost every situation, I was a good boy.
You kind of dropped the ball on reporting it, though.
And whatever. So we have a chance to redeem ourselves with, what was it, like, bad caster 2014?
It's the threat is crappy caster.
Yeah.
I don't support this as a...
Me either.
Yeah.
What?
I entirely support everyone else participating in Krabby Caster 2014.
I have no doubt that you do.
I am fully behind anyone who wants to participate in 2014.
I just have a I can't support it because, I mean, my worst caster is P-Mags, and he's a baller.
No, you
I just don't have a bad caster.
I mean, that's all I play is bad casters, right?
That's true. No, you played Mother tonight. She's sweet.
So I agreed in that thread to do it, except for there was no way I'm ever playing Grail. I'll play all the other Circle Badcasters, but Jesus Christ.
There aren't any other ones. It's just Grail.
Yeah.
There's a lot that are viewed as bad.
Who are the
bads? Cassius was viewed as bad.
Well, he's clearly not.
He's clearly not. So tell me more about these bad Circle Casters.
Pikaia, Mosar.
Pikaia has Spirit Fang, yo. Spirit Fang. Spirit Fang.
P. Morvana.
P. Morvana's good if there's no purification.
Oh, correct. It's just they keep printing that on every freaking card.
True. Speaking of purification, my dojo for the day, I was looking at Father Lucant again.
Forgot that guy has purification. There's another one. F me and the A.
I was actually looking at a list for him without the Primaxium. I have not landed for sure on whether or not I want an Axiom with him. His Rat 3 makes it a little tough to love the Axiom.
Just really iffy drags.
Yeah, it just makes the every turn value of its guns questionable rather than dependable, like it is with Syntharion or Directrix.
Yeah.
So the battle group is Diffuser, which makes it into a lot, if not all, of my. That's like one of the most
such
common
a
jacks.
High utility.
Is that the charge one?
Yeah, it's the long charge. The range 11, POW 11.
It is again.
Lucky Shot long charge.
Like obviously, Lucky Shot helps, but Rat 3.
Yep.
Is
I mean,
an issue.
That's what there
I mean, that's
is.
His issue, yeah.
I mean, I've got two sources of flare in the list. So, the inverter, which is in there because it's a good beater. It's got
the shield guard, right?
No. It's the one with the macro pummeler and the meteor hammer. So
oh, yeah. Down. We have this conversation every time. Yeah.
So it has reach. It's the one with reach.
And it also knocks down, right? So
it can knock down with the macro pummeler.
Not the reach weapon.
Not with reach.
But it's really good for Watcher.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent Watcher, Jack, which is the main reason it's in there. A Cypher, because a Cypher should be in most, if not every, Convergence list.
So good.
And the Corollary.
Which also is in most.
Yeah,
if not every.
For units, I have two sets of Directive and two sets of full Reciprocators, which are the Shield Wall, Reach, Gents.
Medium Infantry.
Yeah.
Medium Infantry.
Two Arc Nodes, which I may or may not stay.
What does he have that you want to Arc?
He's got, I mean, like all Convergence casters, he has Focus to burn.
Right.
His spell is Dissolution Bolt. It's a 2-cost POW 12. And then he's got positive charge, so he doesn't need to be right next to a Warjack to charge
it's
up.
Dissolution Bolt?
Yep.
So it's a 2-cost POW 12 that, like, causes you to regret your life decisions?
Yes, it's Dissolution, not Dissolution. Dissolution. But...
Target model hit.
So yeah,
is in a state of ennui for
ennui. State of ennui. Yeah.
So the only spells he can channel are positive target and dissolution bolt. So the arc nodes may or may not stay. I just kind of like the ability to have my warcaster do some work. And then two Enigma Foundries and one set of Flare Bots. So the list has, it's very, very beefy with the 10 reciprocators and two Heavy Warjacks.
And two Enigma Foundries to
rebuild
them.
How much repair do you have in the list?
Six Optifex Directive, two Enigma Foundries.
And then his feet as well. Oh, wait, his feet actually doesn't repair, it just makes repairs automatically.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Right.
So it's six or eight total repairs.
After having played two units of Optifex Directive, I'm actually thinking the right amount might be one unit.
Yeah.
They're good, but mainly they repair.
Fox and I, on the way back from War Machine Weekend, and I talked to you about this at Outback, because we were just like, we both built Father Lucan lists. Let's see how similar they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are strikingly similar.
Well, Convergence doesn't have that many options.
Well, it's just...
Once you decide whether you Axiom or not, really determines where the list is going in a lot of ways.
The list that Fox and I were working on was, like, sort of activated in, like, small strike teams or, like, elite units. So we put two Cyphers in the list and a Corollary, and that's the battle group. And then... There's two Enigma Foundries, two Reciprocators. This sounds very familiar. Two Reciprocators, and there's two min units of Reductors. So one of each of those items goes and teams up together. So there's like a Cypher hiding behind Reciprocators that have Reductors behind them. And the Cyphers get positive charged and then can like walk forward and shoot over the shield wall guys into like flares or whatever. And then the shield wall guys get to walk forward and are like mad. 11 pow a lot. What is that, like 16? Are they base?
They're base 12. They go to 14. The shield wall guys.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And then reductors to clear them off.
Yep. The reason I built the battle group the way I did is Inverter Cypher gives you the most varied options with Watcher, because the Cypher can get in and disrupt charges with the rough terrain or kill lots of infantry with the... potentially kill lots of infantry with the POW 6 blast. And then the Inverter can just knock down a heavy that comes in at you.
Yeah, I didn't...
So, yeah. I think it gives you a lot of options with Watcher.
Yeah,
it allows Lucant to play far forward.
I did not plan Watcher into my list.
I played a game earlier with Tobias, which I'll talk about on the next podcast, because he's going to be a guest. But one thing I learned, I want them attacking my caster, because it's very unlikely they're going to kill them. I was playing Mother, and, you know, she's 15, 16 with 18 boxes. And first turn, he spiked the crap out of a POW 11.
Sunder Spirit.
Yeah, Sunder Spirit. He rolled a 15 and put, like, a bunch of damage on her, but I just repaired it all. And so I'm just thinking to myself, like, I think a really important Convergence playstyle is to expose your caster enough where they take some damage so you can take advantage of the repairs that are kind of sitting around doing everything. So you're just basically sucking high-value shots.
I don't think I agree with that at all.
You do the same thing with trolls. It's very similar.
No, because those repairs don't work exclusively on your warlock or your warcaster.
Yeah, but I had six of them in my list, and you don't typically need all six repairing every turn.
It's dependent on what your battle group's doing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but some battle groups are likely to take more damage than other battle groups.
I agree.
But yeah, I don't think
it's a bad way to play.
No.
I mean, I think it's something that Convergence has that most other factions don't have the option to do.
Agreed.
It's particularly War Machine factions, because number one, they camp a little better because of the Corollary than most of the other War Machine factions. And number two, they're repairable, at least the ones I'm talking about.
Are.
Well, the ones that would play this playstyle.
Yeah.
Like, being repairable is a big deal, because they can...
I guess it's a semantics argument. Because I'm not saying, like, it's... I like, it's definitely good that they can be repaired, and it's definitely good that if they do take damage, you've got that in your back pocket. It seems like you're advocating to, like, actively put your warlock or your warcaster in bad spots so
no.
that they will take damage.
You put them... You get them more in the game and expose them to a little more than you normally would.
You just don't have to worry about them. It's like retroactive defense.
Yeah, but I actually want my opponent putting some shots into them because then it's not killing stuff and it helps you cascade into a better situation, I feel like.
Yeah, as long as they're shooting or damaging anything that can be repaired without killing it.
Right.
You're gaining ground. Yep. Things that you can repair without immediately losing your repair guys.
Right. And then also when they're shooting at a def 15, like, they can miss that a lot easier than they can miss my def 10 jacks. So, like, I feel like it's higher value if I'm tempting them with a few.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
Got really sad when I realized that Aurora just has more stats than Cintharion for XX.
Yeah.
Weird.
Everybody has worse stats than Cintharion.
No, but I mean, like, hers are like normally there's a switch off. Like, Axis is, like an 8-2?
7-2.
Oh, Jesus.
He's a 7-2, and then everybody else is just strictly worse than Cintharion. He's 6-5, Mother is 5-5.
Yeah, but like...
Aurora 6-4, Lucant 6-3.
I guess, that's weird.
Cintharion is just the best.
I thought Axis was an 8, and then I just assumed that Aurora would be a 7, because she seemed, you know, that just seems...
Yeah, not the case. Actually, and I think what you're seeing there, the reason why their stats are, they tend to be low, is they're compensating for the ready availability of Flare.
Flare, yes, I agree.
Yep.
I feel like that's the case. Actually, not just in the case of the caster stats. I think it's the case in terms of Rat and Matt of a lot of the actual unit stats.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so,
agreed.
God, I don't know what it is, but I love women in this game that have transference. I don't, like, saw Constance Blaze and was like, God, I have to play that caster. And I saw Aurora and I was like, dang it, I have to play her too.
But you don't like Vlad too? Because I think Vlad 2 is the best of the
three. He's
got
a penis. Said all the women.
Yeah, that's so weird. I don't get that at all.
I love Connie B.
That's Miss Andrist.
That's Josh's thing to say. Ah! I was 100% on that one.
Sniped.
Ugh.
Spoiler alert.
Anyway, I just think that Convergence has some...
So blown out right now.
Interesting options.
Yeah, I really want to get into that faction for Aurora.
Yeah, the other thing I just thought of just now, after playing that game with Mother, I think I'm going to put two units of Angels in that list.
I feel like Angels go with all the casters, not just Mother.
But
they're solid.
I was playing a very much a gun line with her, and they allow you to contest in annoying ways because of their def 16 versus shooting and can be hard to get a hold of at the back of a zone. I think that they'd be pretty strong for that.
I think that's a good idea.
Do they always have reform?
No, they only have them with Aurora.
Okay.
They always have reform.
I thought so.
What reform. Does she get them? Oh, she gets
CMA.
Them.
CMA.
Yeah,
the thing that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it matters.
Just one of the money units with that faction, it seems like.
The CMA isn't.
It's not worthless.
It matters because they have reform. But
it's not like... It's not like the reason why you take Angels with Aurora is because of CMA.
No, you're right.
So,
no, it's
all.
Because they're speed 9 with transference.
Yeah, that's okay, too.
I think it's because of flank.
She also flanks with it.
Yeah. That is the actual reason. Ta-da.
Pick up.
But after playing a game with Mother, I really like that caster. She's really good. Although, it's maddening trying to get things to land
Save
with
it
her.
For next episode.
I will, but...
Because I have some dojo.
Is it Convergence Dojo?
Please be Convergence Dojo.
Convergence of Troll Ken Champions?
That was bad.
Champions. What have I been putting two of in every list for the last 3 months?
Is it
Champions?
Wait,
no.
Genesis?
No. Got
no,
it.
No. It's the little beater.
Yeah, Slugger.
Two Nitrals?
No.
Two Nitrals.
I said the little beater, the Kithkar.
That's true.
That is true. That was legitimately true.
But also, Trollkin Warders.
Yes.
Tell us about your new list with two Trollkin Warders and two...
And two Nitrals.
Two Kithkars, Chad.
It doesn't necessarily have those things. The name of the list is Fast Warders, so you don't know what's in it.
Jarl.
Shut up, Josh.
Boom. And
so, hold on. Crushed. So turn one, the Runebearer casts
Quicken
on one of the units of Warders and they run, and then Jarl casts it on the other unit and they run?
No, he's just going to cast it on both. He's going to cast Quicken on one and attack Supremacy on the other.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's pretty good.
Carry on.
Or you could
tell us about Fast Warders.
Supremacy. Oh, I put a Creelstone in this list. Maybe the Rune Pairer has to cast it. I forget about it. I dodged this list a long time ago.
I was say, you're always just like, no Creelstone for Jarl.
Yeah.
You got to try it. You're going to run it.
Well, I guess that was the original thought. That list sucks, actually. Let's make a new list. What was I thinking? With that?
Terrible dojo brought to you by Muse on Minis.
Bad. This is a bad list. I should feel bad.
Did it have two night trolls?
It did not.
This was your chance. This was your chance to just be like, this list is terrible.
I feel like fast champions with Jarl could be an interesting idea, but fast warders would be really interesting, but you're probably sacrificing a lot of Jarl's personal efficacy.
Or you're sacrificing the Creelstone. It's one of the two.
Right. Or you don't get the Creelstone, in which case the warders kind of die.
That's what I would like to see it play out without the Creelstone. I mean, I know the Creelstone makes...
You need the Creelstone. I'm not sure, though. Like, that's something that I should probably test. I think that the plan that I was going for this game was you cast both first turn... And then they run, and then the next turn you pop your feet, like, and they run again. And then you can fill up the Creelstone. You get 2 turns to cast your spells and fill up the Creelstone.
That makes sense.
And I think I would cast with the Rune Bearer the first turn, just so I can put, like, 4 in
right
on the first turn. And then I'd pop my feet the second turn, and then they run again. So then they would be, like, really far up the table, behind a bunch of clouds, with, like, decent threat range and Creelstone aura. But I'm not sure. Like, I don't know.
What's the rest of the list?
You need more than Creelstone to units of warders?
Yes, that's only 20 points of the list.
This list is bad, and I should feel bad.
Well, let's work on it.
Rune Bearer, Mold the Ancient, Impaler, Axer is his battle group.
Okay. Right.
Double unit of warders, Creelstone with UA, and 2 fell collars. Minimalist.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
But the warders, I feel like, are really good at just going into his own and being at, like, a-holes, basically. And Molg is also decent at that. You've also got the threat of a speed 8 Molg.
Hey, what's the last?
I was going to say, with the exception of Molg, I'm concerned about amount of work done. But
Jarl
can kill 4 guys a turn if he's, like... That's the thing is, if I'm going against a giant swarm of infantry... I don't know. Like I said, this list is bad.
What are the last?
I don't know why. Like, I must have made this list like 2 weeks ago.
Well, your beginning is something. Obviously, I think.
Well, it's like, in line with the armor 21.
4 points down, even.
Yeah, so I was gonna say there's 4 points missing. What in the? You know what I like with Jarl?
Double Kithkar. No.
You know what I actually
just
like?
No Finblades, but double Kithkar. Yeah. Screw Righteous Vengeance. Good, just be hard.
You know what's good at killing units?
What?
Sons of Brag.
6 points.
I know, you cut a fell collar.
Min unit of Sons of Brag.
Yeah, just take the 2 good ones.
Just the spray guy and the 2 attacks guy.
Yeah, you just dump the other guy who doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Except lead the unit.
Oh, is he the one that actually has the song that gives him +2/+2, though?
They all have it.
Yeah.
They all have all 3.
You could cut weird, one fell collar to put in a... No, you don't want Min Scattergunners without their UA. It's probably bad.
I definitely need to cut one fell collar.
I mean, do you really want Mold?
No. I mean, I guess this list is bad.
All right, let's build
do
a
it live.
Let's build it better. All right, we definitely
I
want...
I don't think Mog's bad in that list. I think
Mog, actually, I like with Jarl a lot because he's basically, with Rush and Quicken, you're speed 8, and people don't see you coming from downtown.
Also, if he accidentally gets damaged...
Yeah, he never... Let's just be honest.
And that allows you to and that allows you to provide... Though, like we talked about a few podcasts ago, that whole front of the list basically is just like, POW 10s, I don't care. POW 12 charges, I don't really care about that either. It's like, infantry doesn't bother us. It's just 2 sets of warders and Mulg just sort of chilling out front, like, what are you going
to
do?
I have kind of wanted to dabble with a Jarl list that doesn't use the feet defensively, that uses the feet more offensively. I feel like this is probably the list that would do that the best, or a list that's a variant of this list.
Yeah,
where you don't put the clouds out. It's like, you know, I don't put the clouds out in front of my warders because it's like, oh, who gives a crap, like, whatever happens to them. Like, they'll get charged, they'll get shot, like, I don't care. There's still going to be enough of them. And then the turn after that, I pop the clouds down to give my entire army essentially tactical supremacy, or martial discipline, I mean. Blah, martial discipline. So they can all move through each other and walk through each other. So then you can do the thing where, like, your guys in the back, like, charge forward, clear out the front line, and then the front line charges forward and gets even farther in, and Jarl's shooting, you know, shooting at everything, and That seems like that could be really good. That's something that I've been tempted to dabble with, and I feel like warders are definitely like a key component of that, because in order for that to work, you need to have a front line that just doesn't care about getting alpha struck. You know?
Which is warders in a nutshell.
Right.
I mean.
But otherwise, like basically every single Jarlist I've ever played has always been, you know, okay, let's make like a squishy list and then protect ourselves for one turn with clouds and get an alpha strike that way. And that's pretty good.
So
that works, but
two units of warders. Let's go all in. Put Horthal and a unit of long riders in, and
oh
then
God, that's why I'm forgetting Horthal. Damn it! I was like, this list is bananas, and I forgot. No, Chad, I have the list. Hold on.
Can't run Mulg then, by the way.
Why?
Just point cost.
All right, Chad, I got it.
I think it all fits.
I got it. Trollkin, Runebearer, Troll Impaler, Pyre Troll, Horthal, Full Creel Stone and Stone Scribe, Warders, Sons of Brag, Full Long Riders, and there's a point left.
I love that list.
Swamp Gobbers.
Wait.
Or Frogeist.
What is this? It's Miserable Super Quick Meat Mountain.
As much as this is weird to say, I kind of don't like that battle group with him.
I know! I've never been able to figure out his battle group. Because every time you let me borrow Jarl,
battle
like...
groups with him are either like a heavy, an axer, and an impaler, or just two impalers.
Sure. I kind of like slag trolls with him, too. So that pyre troll could be a slag troll, I guess, and then you want the swamp.
Oh, I guess for the 1 point. Yeah, you have 1 point. So the pyre troll could be a slag troll. I don't know.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. Maybe that's maybe that's my dojo.
Chad, this list you made is sweet.
Thanks, Josh. I'm a genius.
What's the battle group?
Troll genius. Pyre troll impaler.
Or impaler slag.
Yeah.
Or double impaler swamp gobbers.
I figured the armor swing might be useful.
You'll get caught up in them.
Just in the event.
Yeah, I like the swamp gobbers with him. And then it's also another 5-inch cloud along with your D3 plus 3. Like, if you do decide that you, for some reason, you're like, I think the long riders might be the best option for that.
For what?
Put the clouds on everything, and then they get to impact attack into the front line.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So the long riders themselves could clear, like, two lines.
Yeah.
And then, oh, man. This could be fun, actually. That could be really fun. This is the kind of list, though, that you're really going to want to get those max clouds. So you're going to roll 4, like I always do, and be like, oh, that's not enough.
So, I mean, the other thing you could do, it doesn't have to have two units of warders. You could drop a unit of warders and the... slag to put Mulg and something else in.
I mean, the Sons of Brag could also be something else.
Yeah, you could drop Sons of Brag, too.
I just never see that unit get played. And I feel like he's a caster that is a good caster to play them with.
Sons of Brag is 6?
Yeah.
And the slag is 5?
Yeah.
Mulg is 12?
You could put Mulg in.
Why is Mulg 12? Impaler Mulg.
No, slag trolls.
So it would be take out the Pyre Troll.
Slag Troll's 6.
It'd be take out the Pyre Troll, take out the Sons of Brag, put in...
Mulg, that's Mulg. The list.
I like that list way better.
Mulg with no Axer?
He's still quicken.
He's quicken, but like walls.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, his feet gives you Pathfinder,
right?
All
right, fine. Drop
his feet lets you ignore the...
Kadoosh!
Can you drop the...
They're basically just Veil of Mist,
yeah, it's
right?
Just Veil of Mist. But you can move through...
Can you drop the Impaler and get an Axer in?
No Impaler? With Jarl?
Jarl can
also,
just...
That's not a
crazy boy.
Also, that's not crazy. I don't know if that's crazy.
Axers are 6 and Impalers are 5. So
also, yeah, no, you couldn't do that. But you crazy. Like, point stance.
We could also drop the Runebearer.
I don't think it's crazy.
No, Impaler. I don't know about you.
You're getting Mulg.
Mulg is... I think you're right. I agree with you. You're far more insightful than I. Thank you for your order.
Me too.
Why are you looking at me?
Because I hate you right now.
I actually like that Jarl list a lot.
Chad,
you're a genius.
I do too, actually.
I think it's
close. I would play Impaler Mulg before I would play...
Better than that crappy-ass list that you came up with.
Yeah, right.
Before I would play Jarl without an Impaler.
You would play what?
Impaler Mulg before I played...
I would test it with Impaler Mulg.
I would play Mulg without an Axer before I would play Jarl without an Impaler.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I really like the idea of Mulg in that list.
Yeah.
So you've got warders, long riders, Mulg, and you're just like, sup.
Also, there's a turn where you can't charge them.
Threaten the entire table, pretty much.
Also, doesn't the Creelstone work better if you're not worrying about Jarl shooting as much if he plays more of a support role.
Yeah. I think that's the goal that he would have this game, is he would basically just be support, and then like you can still aim and get the two shots.
He'd be shooting with his guns but not casting magic bullet.
Yeah, which is fine. Right. He's got two rat seven shots.
Rat nine with aiming.
Oh, this is Crump's telephone.
And then he's
Yeah, it's because I
like
aiming
with him a lot too, because you can still aim, shoot twice, and move 4 inches. Jarl's good.
Okay,
I like this list a lot.
Because he's got...
So we're going with Mulg.
Swift.
You can also attack Supremacy.
Yeah, he's got Snapfire.
He's got Quick Fire.
He's got Quick Fire, yeah. That's it. Yeah,
so we're going with Mulg. So the list is Jarl, Runebearer.
He's got Swift Quick.
Swift Quick.
Do we need a Runebearer?
double Quick Good.
Probably
double.
Need a Runebearer.
Yeah, you want a Runebearer.
So Runebearer, Impaler, Mulg, Horthal, full Creel Stone, two units of Warders and Longriders.
Man, I'm so good at Dojo. Coming
really
up with these amazing.
Are the best at coming up with them on the fly.
Yeah.
I wish Crump so didn't good. Drag down all the dojo.
You're welcome for the Longriders.
What?
That was my idea.
No, I had the Longriders in, but I was like, something's missing. And I like added an electric troll, and then John's like, Horthod. I was like, oh, that's what's missing. Cut that electric troll.
Yeah. Oh man, Storm Troll would be really good in that list too.
So I'm trying to think, like, I'm guessing it would be. It's just tough to decide what the Fury does in that list. Because do you want to actually save the Runebearer?
It honestly may just be swapping.
It might be whether or not you're going first or second.
That's true too.
Going first, you can probably fill the stone yourself on turn between turns one and two. Going second, you'll probably have to use the Runebearer to cast Quicken on turn one.
Tax Supremacy two or three?
It's two.
It's two.
So, and he's a six?
Yep.
So you can put two in if he casts both the first turn.
Oh, with Harmonious. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, man, maybe I'll play Trolls this year.
You said that last year.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
You say that every week.
When Grim 2 came out.
Do you have a good Grim 2 list yet?
Yeah, I do.
Ooh. Grim 2 and Jarl probably aren't the best of pairs.
I mean, honestly, Krupp should play Grim 2 because he has the best like distraction ever. Because everybody's going to try and kill Krump.
That's true.
Every game. There's
like, true. Instead of like throwing my caster out there to get killed, they'll throw me out and just be like, ha-ha, fuckers.
It'll work against Colin.
Colin would just be like, I'm going to get him! Go, Mammoth, go!
It works so well against Colin. Like, Eric was just telling me about their game they were playing last week, where neither you nor Krump were anywhere near the table watching or anything. And Eric was playing Grim 2. And Colin was just like, Krump! And just like went all out to kill Krump.
Malik Karn charges in, sidestep, sidestep, beat back. Boosh, I'm on Krump! He's dead.
Yep.
Tough checked.
Oh, I love Colin.
I can't wait for the time where he does that and I make a tough check.
He did that against me.
And you tough checked him?
Yeah.
Did he just go on tilt?
No.
It's just like, what the f- No, tough! No!
All right. Well, I think that's an episode. Good dojo. We'll have to do another one here.
God, my dojo is
list now.
My dojo is the worst.
Fun.
I don't want to play against it. I feel like, you know, when I sit down and there's warders, long riders, potentially Mulg, I will not be able to stop throwing up.
Well, at least that list is really slow, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst part about that list is it's all in your face.
It's like the Earthbreaker cannot kill enough of these to matter.
I mean, I probably can't kill the Earthbreaker, though.
with Mulg and Longriders and Warders.
Yeah, if it's Spiny Growth, yeah. I guess Mulg's Animus.
You're just going to be knocking them all down.
There's no Fel Collar, which kind of is sad, but they're already mat 7.
Oh,
right?
We got rid of the one Fel Collar, didn't we? Yeah, Boosh, bring it on. Knock down a rough terrain, baby.
There's no Fel Collar. I think we should probably get rid of the Sons of Bragg then.
There aren't.
There's no Sons of Bragg.
Mulg.
We could turn Mulg into the Sons of Bragg, or we could turn Mulg into a Fel Collar and like a Fire Troll and an Electric Troll. Right?
No, you could turn Mulg into.
No, that would be Mauler Impaler or Mauler Fel Collar.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that.
All right,
if we're gonna drop Mulg, then you drop him back down to a light, and you put in the two support solos.
Yeah.
Does that seem better or worse?
I don't like not having a Fel Collar.
You could drop Mulg out for the Pyre Troll again, and then go Fel Collar, double Kithgar.
I do like double Kithgar.
Oh,
you're speaking on his language.
That's
guy's so hard.
All right. We've talked about this.
All right.
I kind of like... No, this list is fun to talk about.
Just talk, like, next episode, all Jaro list all day long.
Everyone must submit a Jaro list during next episode.
All right, I submit this one.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 131 of Muse on Minis. This has been John.
Josh R.
Crump.
Keith.
Chad.
Queen.
I got nothing. I got nothing!
Do you actually apologize?
Check, going off script?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Crump, you can have a
John, I am sorry.
Thank you.
And thanks for your order. Oh, crap. I need to get... I got to get a pirate joke ready.
This is your new thing? When did Maxon become Colin? That's all I want to know.
What's that? What did I do to Colin?
No, when did you become Colin?
I didn't know I'd become Colin.
One bit wonder.
I have many bits. Many fiddly bits.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about? Are you going to talk? Can your game fill up the entire cast? So, no, these guys are not.
Yeah, they're all asking. Well, if he and I argue about it, maybe.
We could talk about Mother, since we both played a game, Keith.
Yeah. A little bit.
Not really playing her. The corollary is every bit as dumb as I thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I do think you have to be careful on the convergence list that you don't put too much support in the list. It's easier with conversions because you can put in like a foundry and then 2 units of OptiFX directive and then, you know, whatever else. Corollary. And then pretty soon you're like, well, that's 11 points. Well, actually, that's 10, but that's still a lot of points to have in support, and none of it kills anything.
Sort of like shifting stones on a Gorax.
Gorax kills things. I see Gorax do work all the time.
He always is the last heavy.
I've seen the Gorax kill an Avatar.
Not from full.
No, it's just his opponent cheated and John didn't notice. So. Yes, when you cheat, your models can do anything. Then they can become.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Gorax, like, it was out of the system.
Yeah, but he could have healed it, so he just forgot. Like that, it still rolled the dice to kill the Avatar. It tanked the Avatar.
Play the new Assassin's Creed because the fucking spent half the game like driving around a pirate ship and like going on pirate ships.
I rented it, but I haven't played it yet.
I watched some streams of it, and I was like, "This is way more fun than I thought it would be." Like,
yeah,
it looks way more fun than I thought.
Yeah, it got pretty good reviews for Assassin's Creed games these days. No, the latest few have not been particularly amazing. Like, I mean, yes, from IGN or like whoever that gives like on like the lowest grade at IGN gives us a B+. Like,
yeah, like
yeah. So, but like from people that are legitimate, like the last few Assassin's Creed have not necessarily got the greatest reviews.
Huh. The last one I played was 2. So,
in fact, the most recent one, Native American Assassin's Creed. A lot of people were just very, like, very lukewarm on it because you were just like, I will climb the highest building that is 3 stories tall in old school Boston. And you're just like, wow, this is kind of lame. Well,
Chris was complaining about the last game that they made with Ezio, which is the guy from...
Yeah. I didn't play 3.
Because, like, you go through 1, and, like, you're, like, 1 it was cool, but, like, it got kind of old because halfway through the game... Everything just the rest of the game, like you've basically seen everything and there is in the game.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, new location, but I still just have to go and kill this guy and I still do it in the exact same way. Like, I'm just going to walk up to him and stab him.
Right.
Okay. Tell me who to assassinate now. Okay. It's just another old guy. I'm going to walk up to him and stab him.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, now tell me who to assassinate. Okay. It's another old guy.
Well,
like, in 2, and yeah, that. In 2, like, they changed up the environments a lot and they had, like, a little bit more. Like, there were different weapons and
right.
different.
Yeah.
And there were different. They like added new mechanics, so there were new ways of killing people and everything. And it was a little bit more. It was a little bit more diversified. But then Chris was telling me, he's like, "Yeah, don't get the next one after that." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Well, so like Ezio just becomes like an assassin. He's like an assassin baron, I guess. And just like the leader of the assassins guild.
Yeah.
And then the entire game, you like have these minions that like do the kills for you." So it's not even like going up and stabbing guys anymore. It's just getting within line of sight of a guy, and then you press a button, and then like any random barrel or window or like haystack that's like near the guy, like an assassin will just pop out of it and shank him and pop back into it.
That sounds super lame.
Yeah,
like
sounds really funny though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my style of game. It's like playing a necromancer in D2. I'm sort of hanging. I'm just sitting in the back picking up gear. Like, oh, cool, skeleton killed this.
My problem with the Assassin's
Creed... Like, I wonder where the Assassin's going to pop out for this one. Ooh, trash can, nice.
My problem with the Assassin's Creed games has always been that what I really want to... Yes, historical accuracy. What I really want to be playing when I'm playing an Assassin's Creed game is a Hitman game.
Right.
Like, that's what I want to be doing. And instead I'm doing a bunch of, like... jumping off tall buildings and rolling around in hay.
I like the mobility stuff, but it was mostly just... I'm not sure if it's... They're propping up an entire franchise on it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, for me, it was... The first game, it was so innovative and cool.
Right.
And then in the second game, it was like, okay, it's still innovative and cool, but not as much. And they have a little... They had to, like... You know, they had to kind of build a game around it at
right.
that point instead of just having it be the reason to buy the game.
Right, all the free motion and everything, that's like the free running or whatever, like
yeah,
that's all
yeah.
cool. It's just that the game is called Assassin's Creed, and when I assassinate somebody, it's just like I walked up to somebody and was like, hey, let's have a sword fight in the street, and then you like hack them twice and they're dead. Like
yeah.
it's just not, like there's no... Like, the Hitman games have, like, yeah, like, that's assassination, right? Whereas, like, this is just, and it's another video game kill. Congratulations. Like,
right.
yeah. Yeah.
All of the assassinations in Assassin's Creed are literally the same.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
walk up to a guy, stab him in the back, or sword fight with him.
Or jump off a building onto a guy.
Whereas in a Hitman game, it's like, kill a guy on a casino boat, and you're like, oh, crap, how do I do that?
Yeah.
Like, I have to follow the rules of the law
yeah.
and try and not get caught.
Not get caught. And, like,
and then I have to try and escape a casino boat.
And then there's, like, five or six options on ways to kill him, like poison, or do I want to shoot him, or do I want to, like, stab him to death, or,
yeah.
Do I want to make him sleep with a hooker with terrible syphilis, and then he'll die like crazy 8 months later? By the way, that should totally be a way to kill somebody.
Giving them syphilis?
Yeah, just like 8 to 16 months of like increasing insanity before they die.
So really we're going with poisoned vagina?
Poisoned vagina is a way, should be a way to kill somebody in Hitman.
I mean, what's that guy's name? Agent whatever? Like
Agent 46, I think,
yeah,
or something like that.
I can
that.
See
yeah.
him doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
Or 47 maybe.
He's
yeah.
pretty cold.
He is pretty cold.
How do you get the hooker to agree to that? Listen, I'm just going to poison your vagina.
No, she already has it. She's a hooker. She already has a poisoned vagina.
Oh, all right.
You, shady underworld memes, John.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm ignorant. I'm very white. I live a very...
I mean, in fairness, it's not like you
never
can...
never played a Hitman game.
In fairness, it's not like you can threaten to kill her family because she's a hooker. Like, she doesn't know who her family is. They've disowned her already
no,
anyway.
It's just... I mean, the obvious answer is poisoned condom.
Poisoned condom also... Well, that will kill the woman.
Yeah.
No, it poisons her vagina.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
So you need... You have a time limit.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I gotcha. I disagree. This is the best conversation that we've ever had on Muse on Many's pre-ramble.
I didn't even know we were talking until halfway through this. So my mic was on the table.
What episode are we on? This will be Mondays? So
This is Mondays, so it's like 170,000, I think.
It's 131,
I believe.
170,000 is a strong number.
Pretty sure it's 131.
I will tell you for sure in just a second.